What if the most challenging moments with your children could become your greatest opportunities for connection? Imagine transforming those frustrating tantrums, defiant behaviors, and power struggles into chances to build your child's brain while deepening your relationship. This revolutionary approach is exactly what Daniel J. Siegel and Tina Payne Bryson offer in their groundbreaking work, No Drama Discipline. Since its publication, this book has transformed parenting approaches worldwide, with celebrities like Pink and Kristen Bell publicly endorsing its methods. The book's influence extends beyond celebrity circles. It's become required reading in many parenting classes and therapy training programs. What makes this approach so powerful is that it's grounded not just in compassionate parenting philosophy, but in cutting-edge neuroscience about how children's brains actually develop. The word discipline has gotten a bad rap. Derived from the Latin word disciplina, it actually means to teach, not to punish. When we understand this original meaning, we recognize that true discipline isn't about making children suffer for wrongdoing, but about helping them develop the skills they need to thrive in life. Most parents face a common dilemma: how to address problematic behaviors while nurturing their child's emotional development. Traditional approaches often focus exclusively on stopping the immediate behavior through punishment or consequences. While this might work in the moment, it fails to build the internal skills children need for self-regulation and moral decision-making. The no-drama approach offers a different path, with dual goals: gaining immediate cooperation while simultaneously building crucial brain connections that develop self-control and a moral compass. This isn't about being permissive. Children absolutely need clear boundaries and expectations. Rather, it's about how we enforce those boundaries in ways that strengthen rather than damage our relationship with our children. When children misbehave, they're often overwhelmed by emotions they can't manage. Traditional discipline approaches like threats and punishments can actually make the situation worse by triggering their defensive brain circuits. Instead, the no-drama method suggests we first connect emotionally with our children, then redirect their behavior once they're calm enough to learn. This connection-first approach might seem counterintuitive. Shouldn't misbehavior be addressed immediately with consequences? Surprisingly, research shows that children actually cooperate more quickly when we first address their emotional needs rather than jumping straight to punishment. Even more importantly, this approach helps build the neural pathways that enable better decision-making and emotional regulation in the future. Think about it this way. When you're upset, do you learn better when someone dismisses your feelings and jumps straight to telling you what you did wrong? Or when they first acknowledge your perspective, help you calm down, and then discuss the issue? The same principle applies to children, whose emotional regulation systems are still developing. To discipline effectively, we need to understand what's happening in our children's brains when they misbehave. Three fundamental concepts about the brain, what Siegel and Bryson called the brain sees, transform how we approach discipline. First, children's brains are constantly changing and developing. The upstairs brain, cerebral cortex, responsible for rational thinking, emotional regulation, and moral reasoning, isn't fully developed until the mid-20s. Meanwhile, the primitive downstairs brain, brainstem and limbic regions, that controls basic functions and strong emotions, is fully operational from birth. This explains why even good kids sometimes make terrible decisions. Their sophisticated thinking brain is literally still under construction. When 4-year-old Nina has a meltdown because she can't ride with mom while her sister does, she's not being manipulative. Her underdeveloped upstairs brain simply can't manage the disappointment. Understanding this developmental reality helps parents respond with patience rather than frustration. Second, the brain is physically changeable through experiences, what neuroscientists call neuroplasticity. Every interaction with our children literally shapes their brain architecture. When neurons fire together repeatedly, they wire together, creating stronger neural pathways. This means that how we respond to misbehavior isn't just addressing the immediate situation, it's actually building or undermining our child's capacity for emotional regulation, empathy, and good decision-making in the future. Third, the brain is complex, with different regions serving different functions. When children are flooded with strong emotions, their primitive downstairs brain takes over, while their rational upstairs brain goes offline. Threats and harsh discipline activate defensive circuits, triggering fight, flight, freeze responses rather than learning. By contrast, connection and empathy help soothe the reactive regions, bringing the thinking brain back online so real learning can occur. When we understand these brain basics, we realize that traditional discipline approaches often work against how children's brains are wired. Spanking, for instance, creates an unsolvable biological paradox. Children's instinct to seek protection from caregivers conflicts with their need to escape the source of pain. Rather than learning from mistakes, children focus on the parent's aggression, feeling it's unfair or scary. Similarly, timeouts often fail because they isolate children when they most need connection to regulate their emotions. When 5-year-old Matthias deliberately dumped his brother's Lego collection across the floor after feeling excluded, his father Michael faced a critical choice. Instead of immediately scolding or punishing, Michael recognized his son's emotional dysregulation and chose connection first. By kneeling down, opening his arms, and comforting Matthias, he helped his son move from a reactive state to a receptive one. Only after this emotional connection did Michael proceed to teaching important lessons about empathy and appropriate expression of feelings. Connection is powerful for 3 key reasons. First, it moves children from reactivity to receptivity. When children are flooded with emotions, their thinking brain goes offline. Connection helps soothe their internal storm, bringing their upstairs brain back online so they can actually hear what we're saying and learn from the experience. Second, connection literally builds the brain. When we comfort upset children and communicate love even after mistakes, we strengthen the connective fibers between their upstairs and downstairs brain, what the authors call the staircase of the brain. This integration enhances the prefrontal cortex, developing crucial executive functions like emotional balance, attention control, impulse regulation, and empathy. Third, connection deepens our relationship with our children. How we respond when they misbehave profoundly impacts their sense of security and self-worth. When we respond with empathy and listening during difficult moments, we communicate that we value the relationship above all else and that we understand their developing brains need our support most during struggles. But what about tantrums? Contrary to conventional wisdom suggesting we ignore them, the no-drama approach recognizes that most tantrums, especially with young children, are genuine instances where the downstairs brain has hijacked the upstairs brain, leaving the child legitimately out of control. Rather than ignoring tantrums, parents should view them as pleas for help and opportunities to make a child feel safe and loved. Many parents worried that connecting during misbehavior might spoil their children. However, spoiling isn't about giving too much love, time, or attention. You cannot spoil children with too much of yourself. Spoiling occurs when parents create a sense of entitlement about getting what the child wants exactly when they want it. The key distinction is between meeting needs versus indulging desires. Importantly, connection doesn't mean abandoning limits or indulging in appropriate behavior. You can acknowledge emotions while still enforcing boundaries. I can see you're upset and having trouble stopping your body. I will help you. Children need both connection and structure. They feel secure when parents validate their feelings while also teaching appropriate behavior. Effective connection begins with response flexibility, the ability to pause between stimulus and response to choose the most appropriate action for each unique situation. Rather than applying one-size-fits-all discipline techniques, parents should take a moment to consider the individual child and particular circumstances. This might mean responding differently to similar behaviors from different children, or adapting responses based on time of day, stress levels, or recent events in the child's life. 4 specific connection strategies form what the authors call the no-drama connection cycle, each building upon the previous to create deeper understanding and emotional safety. First, communicate comfort through nonverbal cues. Physical touch, whether a gentle hand squeeze, warm embrace, or simply sitting close, releases feel-good hormones like oxytocin, while reducing stress hormones like cortisol, literally altering brain chemistry. Body posture is equally important. Getting below a child's eye level in a relaxed position communicates safety rather than threat. Even facial expressions matter. Children will always believe nonverbal messages over verbal ones when they conflict. A furrowed brow or tense jaw can override the most soothing words, while a genuine smile and soft eyes create instant connection. Second, validate feelings even when you don't like the behavior. When we invalidate children by saying things like, "You shouldn't be upset," or "It's not that big a deal," we make them feel invisible and disconnected. Instead, communicate that you'll always be there for them, even at their worst, by acknowledging their experience. "You really wanted to go to Mia's house today, didn't you? It's so disappointing." This validation doesn't mean agreeing with or condoning behavior. Rather, it shows understanding of the underlying emotions driving it. Examples include, "I can see how frustrated you are about having to stop playing," or, "It makes sense that you're angry. Sharing your favorite toy is really hard." Third, stop talking and listen. Most parents talk too much when disciplining, which is counterproductive when a child is emotionally activated. Instead, after communicating comfort and validating feelings, close your mouth and truly listen. Focus on the feelings beneath the words and avoid the temptation to lecture, defend yourself, or explain. Watch for nonverbal cues like body language, tone of voice, and facial expressions. Create space for silence, allowing children to process their emotions and find their own words. Finally, reflect what you hear. Reflecting involves communicating back to children what they've expressed, which helps them feel deeply understood. This reflection meets children's fundamental need for attention while helping them return to emotional balance. Use phrases like "it sounds like" or "what I'm hearing is" to mirror both the content and emotional tone of what they've shared. This technique helps children develop emotional awareness and vocabulary while feeling truly seen and heard. For example, "It sounds like you felt left out when your friends played without you at recess, and that made you feel really sad and lonely." When consistently applied, these strategies create a foundation of trust and understanding that makes discipline more effective and strengthens the parent-child relationship over time. Once children are calm and receptive, parents can move to the redirection phase of discipline, which follows a 1-2-3 approach: one definition, two principles, and three desired outcomes. This structured yet flexible framework provides parents with clear guidance while allowing room for adaptation to each unique situation. The foundation begins with one crucial definition: discipline means teaching, not punishment. This distinction transforms how we approach challenging behaviors. When we focus on consequences rather than learning, we miss valuable opportunities to help children develop their internal moral compass. One mother demonstrated this wisdom when finding stolen crayons in her daughter's room. Instead of immediate punishment, she engaged her daughter in thoughtful reflection, asking questions like, "How do you think the other child feels?" and "What could we do to make this right?" This approach allowed natural guilt to surface and become a teaching tool. Another parent used a similar technique when his son hit a playmate, waiting until calm to explore the emotions that led to the action. Two key principles guide effective redirection: waiting until your child is ready and being consistent but not rigid. Despite conventional wisdom about addressing misbehavior immediately, effective discipline often requires patience and timing. A child in emotional flood cannot process lessons or reflect meaningfully. Parents report greater success when waiting for teachable moments, perhaps during a quiet car ride or bedtime conversation. Consistency provides children with the security they need, like guardrails on a bridge, but rigid enforcement can damage trust and communication. For example, while maintaining a consistent bedtime is important, occasionally allowing 15 extra minutes for a special family movie builds connection without undermining the routine. The three desired outcomes relate to mindsight, the ability to see our own mind and others' minds. First, redirection should help develop personal insight in children by encouraging them to notice and reflect on their own feelings and responses. Parents might ask, what was happening in your body when you felt angry? Or what could you try next time? Second, we want children to develop empathy, understanding others' experiences and feelings. This might involve perspective-taking exercises or discussing how characters and books feel. Finally, we guide them toward repairing situations and relationships after conflicts, whether through sincere apologies, making amends, or collaborative problem-solving. This approach proves equally effective with older children, as demonstrated by Steve and Bella's handling of their 12-year-old daughter Nyla's late-night phone use. Instead of confiscating the phone or imposing punishment, they waited until everyone was calm the next day. They engaged Nyla in discussing how late-night social media affected her sleep and school performance, explored her fears of missing out, and collaborated on a solution, Nyla voluntarily leaving her phone outside her bedroom. This process built insight, understanding sleep's importance, empathy, recognizing parents' concerns, and trust repair, finding a mutually acceptable solution. The REDIRCT framework offers specific no-drama strategies to use after connecting with your child. These aren't rules to memorize, but tools to select based on your child's temperament, age, and your parenting philosophy. Reduce words. When redirecting children, resist the urge to lecture. Kids usually already know what they've done wrong, especially older ones. Long explanations overwhelm children with information, causing them to tune out. Instead, use a concise approach. Address the issue briefly, acknowledge feelings, teach an alternative behavior, and move on. Embrace emotions. Help children distinguish between feelings and actions by teaching them that emotions themselves are neither good nor bad. They simply are. The key message is, you can feel whatever you feel, but you can't always do whatever you want to do. Describe, don't preach. Rather than criticizing or preaching when children misbehave, simply describe what you observe. This approach reduces defensiveness while still clearly communicating expectations. Saying, uh-oh, you're throwing the cards, to a toddler, or I still see dishes on the table, to an older child, opens dialogue more effectively than immediate reprimands. Involve your child in the discipline. Instead of delivering one-directional lectures, engage children in collaborative dialogue. After connecting emotionally, ask questions like, what was going on? Or what could you do differently next time? This approach activates more complex neural pathways, building mindsight capacities that lead to deeper learning. Reframe a no into a conditional yes. A supportive yes statement activates the brain's social engagement circuitry, making children more receptive to learning, unlike harsh no's that trigger fight-flight responses. For toddlers wanting more time at grandma's, say, of course you can have more time with Nana. We need to go now, but can we come back this weekend? Emphasize the positive. Instead of focusing on unwanted behaviors, highlight what you want to see. Rather than stop whining, try, I like it when you talk in your normal voice. Catch your children behaving well, when siblings compliment each other, when homework is started early, or when they're playing nicely together. Creatively approach the situation. When we engage our prefrontal cortex to generate novel responses, we're more likely to access empathy and calm our own reactivity. Humor works wonders with upset children. Talking in silly voices, playful physical comedy, or chasing games can completely shift a child's emotional state. Teach mindsight tools. The most revolutionary redirection strategy involves teaching children mindsight, the ability to see their own minds and the minds of others. When children develop personal insight to observe their own minds, they can handle difficult situations more effectively. Rather than being victims of external events or internal emotions, they can use their minds to influence how they feel and act. Even with the best intentions, disciplinary interactions can sometimes leave everyone feeling angry, confused, and frustrated. Parents often experience guilt and self-doubt when their responses don't align with their ideals. For these inevitable difficult moments, the authors offer four powerful messages of hope that can help transform parenting challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. First, there is no magic wand, and that's okay. Sometimes there's simply nothing we can do to immediately fix our children's emotional state, no matter how skilled we are as parents. Even when we use all our best connection strategies, our children may need time and space to process their feelings. This understanding can free parents from the pressure to instantly resolve every situation and allow natural emotional processes to unfold. Second, your kids benefit even when you mess up, perhaps especially then. Our imperfect parenting moments provide valuable learning opportunities for children in ways we might not expect. When we lose our cool or respond less optimally, our children learn multiple crucial life lessons: how to control themselves despite others' struggles, witness authentic ways to apologize and make amends, understand that relationships can heal after conflict, recognize how their actions affect others, and see that perfection isn't required from anyone. These mistakes actually help children develop resilience and emotional intelligence. Third, you can always reconnect, and every attempt matters. Ruptures in parent-child relationships are inevitable, but what matters most is repair. It's our responsibility to reconnect after conflicts by granting or asking for forgiveness, using humor, or simply acknowledging our mistakes. Each repair attempt strengthens the relationship and builds trust, showing children that love persists even through difficult moments. Small gestures like a gentle touch, a knowing smile, or a heartfelt "I'm sorry" can bridge the gap created by conflict. Finally, it's never too late to make a positive change thanks to the brain's remarkable adaptability. Because of neuroplasticity, parents can adopt more effective discipline approaches at any point in their parenting journey. Each time you choose no-drama whole-brain discipline, you activate your child's reflective, regulating mindset circuitry rather than their reactive, downstairs brain. Every positive interaction creates new neural pathways that strengthen your child's emotional regulation abilities. The authors themselves share candid stories of their own parenting missteps to illustrate these principles. Dan describes losing his temper during a dispute between his children over sharing a crepe, allowing his frustration to overshadow the teaching moment. Tina recounts a particularly challenging episode where she found herself threatening her 3-year-old son, who repeatedly hit her despite gentle correction attempts. Both situations demonstrate how repair after parental mistakes is not only possible but essential for strengthening the parent-child bond. These real-life examples show that even parenting experts face challenges and must work through imperfect moments. Through these stories and principles, parents can find comfort in knowing that perfection isn't the goal. Connection, growth, and repair are what truly matter in raising emotionally healthy children. No-drama discipline isn't just about making parenting easier, though it does. It's about recognizing that how we respond to our children's misbehavior literally shapes their brain architecture and, by extension, who they become as people. Each interaction we have with our children creates neural connections that will influence their emotional and cognitive development for years to come. The science is clear. During moments of stress or conflict, children's developing brains are especially receptive to learning. When we respond with harsh punishment or emotional reactivity, we strengthen neural pathways associated with fear and defensive behavior. Conversely, when we choose connection and teaching moments, we build pathways that support emotional regulation, critical thinking, and social awareness. For example, when a child throws a toy in frustration, responding with immediate punishment misses an opportunity to help them understand and manage their emotions. Every time we choose connection over punishment, reflection over lectures, and teaching over consequences, we're building neural pathways that enhance our children's capacity for self-regulation, empathy, and moral decision-making. For example, when a child throws a toy in frustration, responding with immediate punishment misses an opportunity to help them understand and manage their emotions. Every time we choose connection over punishment, reflection over lectures, and teaching over consequences, we're building neural pathways that enhance our children's capacity for self-regulation, empathy, and moral decision-making. This might look like sitting with a child who's having a meltdown, acknowledging their feelings, and helping them identify better ways to express themselves. These moments, though challenging, are precisely when the most important brain development occurs. The approach requires patience, intentionality, and sometimes more immediate effort than traditional discipline methods. Parents might need to take deep breaths, pause before responding, and resist the urge to quickly end challenging behavior through punishment. Instead, they can use strategies like connect and redirect, where they first connect emotionally with their child before addressing the behavior that needs to change. Research shows that children disciplined this way develop stronger executive function skills, better emotional regulation, and more secure attachment patterns. They learn not just how to behave when we're watching, but how to develop an internal compass that guides them even when we're not there. This internal compass becomes particularly crucial during adolescence and young adulthood, when children face increasingly complex moral and social decisions. As the authors remind us, we won't be perfect, nobody is, but every step we take in this direction gives our kids the gift of a parent committed to their lifelong success, happiness, and authentic development. Each positive interaction builds resilience, strengthens the parent-child bond, and contributes to the development of a healthy, well-adjusted individual. The goal isn't just compliance or good behavior, it's raising children who understand themselves, care about others, and have the emotional tools to navigate life's challenges effectively. By transforming discipline from a dreaded battle into an opportunity for connection and growth, we give our children the gift of becoming not just well-behaved, but truly good people who are happy, successful, kind, and responsible. This approach to discipline becomes an investment in our children's future emotional well-being and their capacity to form healthy relationships throughout their lives.